You may be seated. In just a moment, we'll sing number 595 to give you an opportunity to render obedience to the gospel. And everything's been made convenient that you might enjoy all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're glad you're with us today. We have visitors among us. We're glad to see you. And I'm thrilled to have the privilege of preaching the gospel today. Yesterday, while attending a high school football game, I was touched by a woman's determination. As she had broken her hip and was brought in a wheelchair to the bleachers, and with a cane climbed a step and sat down on the bleachers, which were cold as the temperature was in the 30s, and sat for 2 hours to cheer on her relative in that competition. And as she was wheeled up to the bleachers, she hollered, "Where there's a will, there's a way." That made an impression upon me. I got to thinking about that and how that's an oft-used expression. Maybe you've heard that. You probably have. Maybe you've said that at one time or another yourself. What does that mean? Where there's a will, there's a way. That's a statement of determination, isn't it? That if we really want to do something, we'll find a way to do it, no matter how difficult it might be. I'd like to make spiritual application of that concept. As I got to thinking about that, it occurred to me that there were some folks in the Bible with that mindset, from whom we learn where there's a will, there's a way. Let me call some to your attention from both the Old and New Testaments. The first one that came to mind was a fellow by the name of Jacob during the period of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You recall that he'd been deceived by his boys, making him think that his son had died, been devoured by a wild beast, and he learned that his boy was yet alive. And in Genesis 45 and verse 28, he said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." He was determined to see his son before he died. Now, it's about 200 miles from Hebron to Egypt. And he could have said, "You know, I'm too old and the distance is too far. Too difficult for me to go and see my son." But we read in the book of Genesis 46, 29 and 30, where he presented himself unto him, fell on his neck, wept on his neck a good while, and Israel said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." One of the things I learned from Jacob is that where there's a will, there's a way. Where there was a will to see his son, there was a way to go. But also I got to thinking about the period of wandering. And two outstanding men by the name of Joshua and Caleb, in the book of Numbers 13, as they returned from searching the land of Canaan, the majority thought it too difficult and the obstacles too great. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it." And the Lord liked that. He didn't like the attitude of the others. In fact, he said in the book of Numbers chapter 14, 23 and 24, that surely they shall not see the land, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring in the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. As you come toward the close of the book, in Numbers 26, and you read of the census or the sum of all Israel, verses 64 and 65 record, "Among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered, when they number the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them, save who? Caleb and Joshua. And when you come to the book of conquest and they take possession of the land, in the book of Joshua, chapter 14 and verse 13, you find where Caleb receives his inheritance. As Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb Hebron for an inheritance. One of the things I learned from that, where there's a will, there's a way. He was determined to go to Canaan. And where there was a will to go to the land, God made a way for him to enter the land. And even when he received his possession, he said in verse 10, I am this day 85 years. And then in verse 12, he said, give me this mountain. You know, he could have said, I'm too old and that mountain's too high. But even when he took possession of the land, I'm impressed with his attitude, where there's a will, there's a way. That's a statement of determination. Give me this mountain. Another example from the Old Testament of folks who had this mindset would be Nehemiah and the wall builders. The children are out of captivity. And in the book of Nehemiah 2, in verse 17, Nehemiah, viewing the wall, said, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. And in the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, you find that it wasn't easy to do that. There was great difficulty. There were those who were wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. They faced ridicule and name-calling. What do these feeble Jews? Verse 2. Tobiah said, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Verse 3. That'd encourage you, wouldn't it? They were despised. Verse 4. They faced adversaries. Verse 11. In fact, there was so much opposition that in verse 17, in one hand they had a sword or a weapon, with the other hand do the work. And in verse 21, the Bible says, so we labored in the work from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. According to chapter 6 and in verse 15, the wall was finished in 52 days. You know why? Where there's a will, there's a way. They were determined to get the job done. Verse 6 of chapter 4 says, for the people had a mind to work. They were determined. Where there was a will to build the wall, there was a way to get it done. Right? Let me give you another example from the Old Testament. Remember Daniel? Fine young man, wasn't he? Carried away captive into Babylon with his friends. And in verse 8 of Daniel 1, the Bible says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he had not defiled himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. He could have thought, you know, I'm here in a strange place with strange people and I don't know what this king may do to me. I'm going to go ahead and eat and drink. But he was so determined not to defile himself, he made request of the prince of the eunuchs. He said in verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And upon the 10-day test, verse 15 says, their countenance appeared fair and fatter. Verse 19, none like them, and in verse 20, found them 10 times better. Might not always be easy to refuse to make those kind of requests. But he was so determined that he was not going to defile himself, that he was going to be faithful and loyal to God. And I learned from that where there's a will, there's a way. Where there was a will not to defile, there was a way made for him by which he could keep himself clean. But as there were those in the Old Testament who had that mindset and from whom I learned where there's a will, there's a way, I believe there are folks in the New Testament with that same attitude. Let me call a few to attention. I'll begin with the book of Mark and the second chapter. Let me read a few lines here, and you see if you find some people who thought where there's a will, there's a way. In Mark 2 and verse 1 beginning, as Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they got to thinking, there's just no way we can get to him, and so let's just forget it. Right? Let's see. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And in verse 11, he said, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I believe those who brought one sick of the palsy to Jesus were determined. And I learned from them, where there's a will, there's a way. They could have been deterred by there not being any room. They could have been discouraged and turned back because of the press. They could have thought, that roof is too high. How are we going to get that bed up there? That's a lot of work to uncover a roof and let somebody down into the house through the roof on a bed. What do you learn from that? Where there's a will, there's a way. Let me give you another example. Come over to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The Lord said there was a city in which there was a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You might underscore the words continual coming. She was a determined, persistent widow. And I learned from that. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there was a will for this widow to be avenged of her adversary, there was a way for her to be avenged. She could have gone the first time and given up. But, well, I'm not getting anywhere. But she was determined. And remember the statement that's on the board, where there's a will, there's a way. Another example, Luke 19. Familiar story. A lot of young people know who Zacchaeus was. Jesus passed through Jericho, and there's a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich tax collector. And verse 3 says he sought to see Jesus. Might underscore those words. Who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And so he gave up. I'm too little. The crowd's too great. I'm just not going to be able to see. Now just go back. No, verse 4 says he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Can you see this little tax collector? This rich man climbing up into a sycamore tree? So I said, that's just too much trouble. Climbing up into a tree, he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. And there were some obstacles in the way. But though it may have been difficult and there were obstacles in the way, he overcame those. Why? Because where there's a will, there's a way. Where there was a will to see Jesus, there was a way for him to see him. And look at his energy. Look at his enthusiasm, his determination. Verse 4 says he ran. And when Jesus came, he saw him and said, Zacchaeus, come down. And verse 6 says he made haste and came down, received him joyfully. And in verse 9, Jesus said, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Think about that. You think salvation would have come to his house had he not been so determined? You think he would have found the Lord and seen the Lord if he wasn't determined? What do you learn from Zacchaeus? Well, a number of things, but among those I learned that where there's a will, there's a way. And some people never find the Lord. They never have salvation brought to their house because they're not very determined. They get to thinking, well, I guess there's no way. But the problem is with the will. Where there's a will, there's a way. Let me give you another example from the New Testament. And that is from the book of Acts chapter 11, 27 through 30. When there was a great dearth throughout all the world, as prophesied by Agabus. And verse 29 says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined, that's a key word, to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. These brethren were so determined to send relief unto their brethren, they did it. You know, there are those who talk about and they make some decisions about, but for some reason they never get around to doing. Maybe they think it's just too difficult. I just don't see how we're going to be able to do that. You know, if you really want to send relief, you'll find a way to do it, won't you? Because where there's a will, there's a way. If you'd been among those Antioch disciples, would you have determined? And would it be said of us, which also they did? And so you can be impressed with how that down through the ages, from the book of beginnings through the establishment of the church, there have been those who have had this mindset, where there's a will, there's a way. I got to thinking about some areas in which we need this same disposition. Where there's a will, there's a way. I believe we need this same disposition when it comes to assembling together. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know why there may be some who are in the habit of forsaking the assembling? It may be because they've not learned this principle that where there's a will, there's a way. They get to thinking it's too difficult. It's not always easy to come. I understand that. I'm in sympathy with that. And that's true, especially the older that we become, and there are infirmities associated with advanced age, and yet there are those who are so determined to be here, they find a way to be here. That's like the example that we started with, a lady that was wheeled in to a high school football game. It wasn't easy for her to go. Could have easily stayed home. But she was so determined to be there to support her family member. And I'm sure that meant a lot to him, for her to be there. And the reason that she was there, as she said, where there's a will, there's a way. I believe we need that same determination, dedication, and commitment when it comes to the assembling of ourselves together. You know, it's interesting how dedicated some people are in other areas. You got football fans and baseball fans and basketball fans who are really dedicated to the team that they like to cheer on. They wouldn't think about missing a game. And they may miss some other things in order to be there. You take, for example, the game last night. Maybe you watched a little of the Cubs and the Mets. Did you see any empty seats? You know, a lot of those people get there pretty early. And they're there because it's so warm, right? You see how they were all bundled up? And those seats are really comfortable, aren't they? You ever sit in a seat like that? Not a whole lot of room. The people are so friendly, right? It was free. It didn't cost anything to get there, right? You know what tickets were going for? About $600 a piece on average, I understand, for one seat. And they didn't look like they were too thrilled, did they? You see them cheering to the top of their lungs, and they give each other high fives, and you got some people, that claim to be Christians, that maybe in that kind of an atmosphere, they cheer and they high five, and then when in the assembling of ourselves together, don't hardly sing, I'm afraid somebody might hear me. And don't shake hands with their brethren. Wonder why that is. Strange, isn't it? I believe that when it comes to determination, and where there's a will, there's a way. If I really want to be here, I'll find a way to get here. Just like a person who may be in bad health, and they'll find a way to get to where they want to go if they really want to get there. They really want to be there, won't they? And you might ask a person in that situation, you might invite them, why don't you come and visit with us? Or you talk to a Christian, try to encourage them to attend. And they may say, well, I'm just not feeling too good. I'm not getting around very well. But you see them at the grocery store. You see them at the sporting event. You see them at work. And yet about the only place they're not able to go is to the services of the church, to worship God. What about this little statement? Where there's a will, there's a way. Let me suggest to you another area in which we need this same determination. And that is when it comes to laying by in store. You know, the only way the Lord has of financing the work that we do together is through every one of you laying by Him in store, as God hath prospered him. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. God's always expected His people to be a giving people. When it came time for the tabernacle to be built, in Exodus 35, the Lord said in verse 5, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a what? Willing heart, let him bring it. Somebody might say, where are we going to get the gold and the silver and the brass and the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen and the goat's hair? I don't know how we're going to come up with all that. And, you know, that's going to be difficult. And the work that has been assigned to us, there might be some obstacles in the way. But you know, where there was a will to give, there was a way to accomplish the work. And the Bible says that in verse 24, they brought the Lord's offering. And in verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering. And according to chapter 36 and in verse 7, the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it and too much. You know why it was too much? Because you have people who had that disposition where there's a will, there's a way. Remember the poor widow in Mark 12 and verse 42? As the Lord beheld those that were casting into the temple treasury, she could have said, I don't have any way to give. I mean, I'm a poor widow. Well, look, I can't give. Where there's a will, there's a way. She gave, didn't she? She cast in all that she had, and the Lord held her up as an example of sacrifice. The rich just cast in of their abundance. It didn't really cost them anything. I wonder if we're like that sometimes. If what we give to the Lord really doesn't cost us anything. Does it involve sacrifice? It might cost us something, and it should. But you know, if we're determined to make some sacrifice in our giving, we'll do that, won't we? We'll find a way to do that. Another example, in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul taught that we are to distribute to the necessity of saints. Sometimes saints have needs that need to be addressed and met. And it's not always easy to do that. Somebody might say, I'd like to help you, but I just don't know how I can do that. I can't think of a way. I don't have a way to do that. That's what happened in Acts 2, was here folks had come from every nation under heaven and stayed a little longer as the church was established. And verse 44 says, all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. Somebody said, I'd like to help you, but I got my money all tied up in this house. Or it's in this land over here. I just don't know a way I could do anything to help right now. What'd they do? They sold possessions. If you're really determined to help a brother in need, you can find a way to do it, can't you? I just don't know what I can do to help. I just don't know a way. You have any possessions? Something you might sell to help somebody in need? That's what they did, isn't it? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Where there was a will to help, there was a way to meet the need. That's true of the Macedonians. Remember, Paul held them up as an example to try to motivate the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he said in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." They could have said, we're too afflicted. We're in affliction. We're enduring a great trial of affliction. And look at our situation. We're in poverty ourselves. And not just poverty, deep poverty. I just don't see a way we can help right now. But you know, the Bible says they went beyond their power. That is, they made sacrifice. And they prayed with much entreaty. They begged Paul to take it. You know, sometimes people have to be begged to give. These people had to beg to give. That's kind of the reversal, isn't it? And the Bible says this they did. What's the key to all of that? They first gave their own selves to the Lord. Chapter 8 and verse 5. That's what it all boils down to. Have we given ourselves to the Lord? When I give myself to the Lord, this is a natural thing, isn't it? Where there's a will, there's a way. I'll find a way to do what I want to do for the Lord when I've given myself to Him. And that includes helping needy saints, just like we've seen illustrated in these examples. Let me show you another area in which this same disposition is needed. Where there's a will, there's a way. And that is when it comes to knowing the truth. The Lord said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8 and verse 32. How determined are you to know the truth? Somebody might just open the book and read a few lines and think, "Well, I don't think I can understand that. I'm not going to be able to know this book." And just, they're not very determined, are they? I've got to be determined. Where there's a will to know, there's a way to learn. In Ephesians 3, 4, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Ephesians 5, 17. You know why the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily? To see whether those things were so. Acts 17, 11. Where there was a will to search, there was a way to know whether or not Paul was speaking the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And they could have thought, you know, it's a lot of time involved and kind of difficult to do that every day. I mean, I've got this to do and that to do. And where there's a will, there's a way. They found time to search the Scriptures daily, and they did it and were the better for it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Where there's a will to study, there's a way to be approved of God. There's a way to not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes we're shame because of our lack of knowledge. We don't know. We don't understand. And in John chapter 7 and verse 17, the Lord said, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine." Where there's a will to do, there's a way to know. If I'm so determined that I want to know what God would have me to do, and I'm going to do it, whatever it is, there's a way. Sometimes we don't know the way. But that doesn't mean there's not a way. Oftentimes it hinges on the will. How willing we are to find it. How willing we are to do it. But let me suggest another area in which we need the same disposition. And that is when it comes to sharing the gospel with others. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, the Lord commissioned the apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Sometimes we neglect that. We think it's too difficult or this, that, and the other. And let me suggest to you that if we're really determined to share the gospel with other people, we'll find a way to do that, won't we? Where there's a will, there's a way. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, Paul talked about, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. And he talked about in verse 2, after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. When I look at Paul, I look at a man who was determined, who must have had this mindset, where there's a will, there's a way. It wasn't easy for him to preach, to go to Thessalonica. When you go back to Acts chapter 16 and 17 and you look at the opposition that he faced, there were those that put him in prison in Philippi. That's that shameful treatment he talked about. And then in chapter 17, while he was in Thessalonica, reasoning out of the scriptures, according to verse 5, the Jews which believed not moved with envy, set all the city on an uproar, assaulted a house, and troubled the city, and so much that Paul and Silas left the city. Went by night to Berea. And guess what happened? Those people in Thessalonica followed them down to Berea. And immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. And then Paul went to Athens. Endured a lot of things, didn't he? He could have said, you know, it's too difficult for us to preach here. I don't think I'm going to go. You know why he did that? Verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 2. Held that answer. Being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you are dear unto us. He was so determined to share the gospel with them, even if it cost him his own life. Where there's a will, there's a way. You know, the soul is the most valuable possession a man or woman has. How dear are people to us? We often make excuses, don't we? Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I circle that word determined. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17, he said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel. And he said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory for necessity is laid upon me. He felt a necessity to preach. And that's why he was able to do that so effectively. Where there's a will, there's a way. Another area in which we need this same mindset is when it comes to practicing hospitality. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, as Paul said, distributing to the necessity of saints, he also said, given to hospitality. And Peter wrote about that in 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. I believe that where there's a will to practice hospitality, there's a way to do it. But if you really want to do that, you'll find a way to do it, won't you? You know, that's true when we've been in other countries. In the Philippines, for example, or down in South America, in Chile. There was a couple that their house could fit in this room. And where they had their dining area, very small. But you know, they had the whole church in. And several visiting from other places. Had us visiting preachers in. Everybody was in there together. And I got to thinking how they could have said, you know, we just don't have enough room. We don't have enough. We can't do it. Obstacles in our way. But you know, they were determined to do that. They even had several preachers that they kept that had come from another place. Where there's a will, there's a way. Just like the Shunammite Remember her? 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Remember the story of the prophet? You know, he needed a place to stay, but and so he just passed on by because they didn't have a way to provide for him. Right? No, she said to her husband, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." And so what they did, added on a room. There's no way we could do that. You know what that cost? You know the time involved and the effort and expense? Let's provide for him a table and a bed and a candlestick and a stool. Recognized his needs and accommodated him. How were they able to do that? Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there was a will to provide for a man of God, there was a way for his needs to be met. Right? Where there's a will, there's a way. We find a way to do those kind of things, don't we? If we really want to do them. Lydia, Acts 16, 15. Remember her? She was determined to have some preachers in her home. Paul, Silas, others. She said, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord," that kind of put the monkey on their back, didn't it? "Come into my house and abide there." She could have thought, you know, I'm just a businesswoman. It's just me. What's the other people going to think? And I don't know if I have room. Or could have made some excuses. Effort. I mean, how's this going to interfere with my business? I'm busy. I've got things I need to do. She is so determined to receive those preachers in her house. Where there's a will to keep folks like that, there's a way to do it. She found a way, and they went into her house and abode there. Acts 16 tells the story. Another area where there's a will, there's a way is when it comes to obeying the gospel. You know, Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:4, "God will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." And where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will for all men to be saved, there's a way for all men to be saved. And Jesus is the way. John 14 and verse 6. And the way is shown in the book of Acts. It involves me hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of my sins, confessing my faith in the Lord, being baptized into Christ, and then being faithful unto death. Where there's a will to be saved, there's a way. So if I'd like to be baptized, but I just, there's a way. We'll take you to a place of water and baptize you. You can be immersed in water, be added to the church by the Lord. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor," Matthew 11, 28. And Jesus said, "If any man will take up his cross and follow after me," Matthew 16, 24. Where there's a way, a will to come, there's a way to follow. And whosoever will may come. Remember that? Revelation 22 and verse 17. Where there's a will to come, there's a way to drink and have your thirst quenched so that you'll never thirst again. Somebody said, "I'd like to drink that. I'd like to have that, but I just don't know the way." The way's been revealed. Are you willing to take it? Where there's a will, there's a way. And then finally, an area in which we need this same disposition is when it comes to being faithful. And that includes a lot of things, doesn't it? Like enduring temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, "God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." Where there is a will to endure temptation, there's a way to escape it. Sometimes there are those who think this is just too difficult and I don't know a way. Maybe we're not determined enough. Maybe we don't look hard enough. Remember Joseph in Genesis 39? He didn't give in. He refused and he fled and got him out. Where there was a will to resist, there was a way to escape. He found it and he fled. It involves not only enduring but growing. 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." We're to add to our faith. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. But grow, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18. Where there's a will to grow, there's a way. Some people don't grow because they're just not very willing. They're not determined. It takes some determination. I'm going to grow. I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm not going to be stagnant. Take some work. Take some effort. That includes working. Jesus set the good example at work. In John 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And he could say in John 17:4, I finished the work. You know why he could finish the work? Because where there's a will to work, there's a way to finish the work. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't know of any greater work on earth than the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And where there's a will, there's a way. If I really want to work, if I'm determined to work, I'll find a way to get there and get the job done. It might not be easy. Maybe a lot of obstacles in the way. It also includes serving. Somebody said, I don't like that word. Well, give me the heart of a servant. My love, serve one another. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua 24:50. You know, the people were kind of had mixed allegiance. They had to determine who they're going to serve. Where will their true loyalty and allegiance lie? Where there's a will to serve, there's a way. And we need fathers today who are the spiritual leaders in their family, who will rise up and say and exemplify in their own lives, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. How determined are you to do that all your days? Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. You know, our level of commitment and determination depends on where our heart is. Is that not right? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. And as I thought about where there's a will, there's a way, I thought about the fact that the will of Christ involves a way. In Hebrews 10 and in verse 10, the Hebrew writer made mention of the will of Christ by which we are sanctified. And in connection with that, he said in verse 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. And so the will of Christ includes a new and living way. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's the will of Christ, there's a way. There's a new and living way. And so he's made it possible for us to have a way to heaven, to enter into the holiest. It's not always an easy or popular way. The way is narrow, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7:13-14. It's a good little concept, isn't it? Where there's a will, there's a way. It's illustrated in outstanding characters in both Old and New Testaments. And there are a lot of areas in which I need that same disposition. May we be people who are determined to do what the Bible says, to live as God would have us to live, to go to heaven, no matter how difficult it may be or what the obstacles. We're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing our labor is not in vain, so we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Appreciate the good way that you've listened. It may be that you've been interested in obeying the gospel. You'd like to do that. Where there's a will, there's a way. We'll assist you in making your life right with God. Would you be willing to believe on the Lord with all of your heart, to repent of your sins and to confess your faith? Now, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will take you to a place of water where you can be immersed for the remission of your sins into Christ in the one body. And then to be faithful. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you need to work on your will a little bit. Only you can do that. Only I can do that when it comes to my will. And if we need to make correction of wrongdoing, where there's a will, there's a way. Simon, who was involved in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, whose heart was not right with God, could have been told there's no way. But he said, pray to the Lord for me. Where there's a will to be forgiven, there's a way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. If we can assist you in returning to the shepherd and bishop of your soul, won't you come now while we stand and sing the song together?